Coming from Dubai, where we have now two families. Yeah. The brother Alex and sister Helen Rawson have moved from Kuala Lumpur with their two daughters. And so now we're able to get together for the breaking of bread and Sunday school that we have on Friday, being our weekend, Friday, Saturday. So it's wonderful that we're able to get together. Also, I wanted to mention that Brother John Bonaparte from Singapore sends his well wishes to everyone at the meeting. He was here about a year and a half ago and would move here in a heartbeat if his dear wife was able to withstand the cold. But you never know. He might end up here with Sister Violet. I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about the concept of kindness. Several parables of our Lord can be traced back to having their origin in the Old Testament. And this can be said of the parable of the Good Samaritan that focuses on the principle of kindness as recorded in Luke. Kindness is an important concept in the scriptures and a characteristic God-fearing people should have in abundance. Josias did not find this to be the case in his day. In Hosea 6 and verse 4, he says, in desperation to the people of the last remaining areas controlled by Israel, "What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears." The word love here is also translated as mercy in several cases in the prophecy of Hosea, including verse 6 of chapter 6, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." The Hebrew translation of mercy referring to the proper conduct towards one's fellow man or loyalty to the Lord or both, being that which is required of God's children. As an example of this mercy and love towards one fellow man, no doubt you're aware of what has been referred to as India's 9/11. The Taj Hotel in Mumbai, otherwise known as Bombay, a very historical building like the Empress Hotel here, burned with terrorists inside, shooting indiscriminately for 3 days. The world was captivated for over 60 hours, while innocent guests and employees trapped in a burning building feared for their lives. But did you also see the interviews of the survivors, and in particular the hotel staff that risked their lives out of kindness to guide people they did not know to safety, or the maid that rushed to scoop up an infant and ran to the exit while gunfire was blazing? Because I was so busy in Hong Kong in the days of this heinous crime when it took place, I was preoccupied with business rather than phoning my good friend in India to make sure he was okay. When I did phone my friend Lenny, he answered, "Hello, my little brother." It had slipped my mind that he had worked for Taj Hotels for 20 years and was a board member of the company. And after a few words of concern and pleasantries, he said that he knew many of the some 80 staff who died during the horrific event. No doubt there were people like the kind heroes that worked at the hotel that did not make it out alive. Acts of kindness by strangers towards their fellow man in a land of 1 billion people only a month ago. If we go back to Hosea's time, it's worth noting that in saying that Israel's love was like the morning dew, Hosea was stating that love, though fleeting, did actually exist. In fact, within Judah, they did sometimes have good kings with Hezekiah and Uzziah. These servants of our Lord Almighty did what they could to encourage the people to worship our Heavenly Father. Sadly, however, the Lord declares through Jeremiah in chapter 3 and verse 10 that Judah did not return to me with all her part, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. In fact, Judah's response to Uzziah's reform measures was both superficial and hypocritical. The prophet Hosea had considerable experience with the behavior of Judah and Israel, given his prophecy covering the time of four kings of Judah and the reign of Jeroboam, the son of Jehoash, king of Israel. One of the four kings of Judah included King Ahaz. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 6, coinciding with the life of Ahaz, says that in one day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 soldiers in Judah because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Well, verse 8 goes on to say, the Israelites took captive from their kinsmen 200,000 wives, sons, and daughters. They also took a great deal of plunder, which they carried back to Samaria. An equally dramatic event took place after this day of slaughter. The prophet Oded came and stood before the victorious soldiers and gave them a serious dose of reality. He explained to a fierce group of soldiers that it was only because of Judah's wretched ways that God allowed them a victory, and that it was going too far by taking these women and children as prisoners. Placing his own life in danger, Oded was bold enough to say to the prisoners that Israel was also made up of sinners against the Lord. Reading from verse 10 to 12, and I apologize, this is from the NIV. And now you, referring to Israel, intend to make the men and women of Judah and Jerusalem your slaves. But aren't you guilty of sins against the Lord your God? In order to ensure they appreciated the severity of the situation, Oded goes on to say, now listen to me. His recommendation for Israel was to send back their fellow countrymen they had taken as prisoners, for the Lord's fierce anger rested on them. The strong words of Oded were supported by some of the leaders at Samaria that echoed Oded's position by saying that you must not bring those prisoners here, they said, or we will be guilty before the Lord. Do you intend to add to our sin and guilt? For our guilt is already great, and his fierce anger rests on Israel. But thankfully for the Israelites, they heeded Oded's and the leader's recommendation. God's children, for whom goodness and kindness was like a morning's dew, on this occasion, they did what was right. Verse 14 and 15 of the same chapter says, so the soldiers gave up the prisoners and plunder in the presence of the officials and all the assembly. The men designated by name took the prisoners, and from the plunder they clothed all who were naked. They provided them with clothes and sandals, food and drink, and healing balm. All those who were weak they put on donkeys. So they took them back to their fellow countrymen at Jericho, the city of palms, and returned to Samaria. And herein lies the origin of the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was well versed in the scriptures, who had himself been accused of being a Samaritan, probably suggesting he was lax in Jewish observance or a reflection on Jesus' birth, perhaps claiming that his father was a Samaritan or demon-possessed, the Good Shepherd was able to articulate in a parable the inability of the priest and the Levite who administer the law to bring aid to those clearly in need, having no hope, those condemned to death. But he who was despised by so many was and remains the Savior. Isaiah 61 and verse 1 references the Lord Jesus Christ in saying that, like the Good Samaritan and like the Israelite soldiers in their moment of good, he was sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release the darkness for the prisoners. But not just for a man going down to Jericho from Jerusalem or the families of Judah, but for all who follow his teachings, are baptized, and emulate him in their lives. The importance of kindness is noted by God throughout the scriptures. It is only seven chapters earlier in Luke that John the Baptist is at the River Jordan preaching the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptizing men and women, listening to the confessions of their sins and teaching them how they should live. Three groups of people asked John what they should do to be counted worthy. In each case, kindness and decency towards their fellow man was a key theme to John the Baptist's response. When the first group came, it was the crowds. They said, "What should we do then?" And again, from the NIV, John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Next, the tax collectors came to be baptized and asked John, who they called teacher, "What should we do?" To which John replied, "Don't collect any more than you should." He said, "Be decent. Don't rip off people and extort cash from them for your own corrupt gain." Some soldiers came to John after that and asked the question, to which he replied, similarly, "Don't extort money," but also continued with, "Don't accuse people falsely and to be content with their wages." Again, John was telling the people at this time soldiers to be kind and decent to their fellow men. And as we meet this morning, as the president mentioned, in peace and tranquility in this incredible surrounding, and we are able to meet to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, it's at this time that the Israeli defense minister is calling up 7,000 reserve soldiers in what looks like could be a very long skirmish again between the Israelis and the Palestinians, with almost 300 Palestinians having been killed in the last 48 hours in Gaza. It is the Apostle Paul who puts it succinctly in Ephesians when he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Clearly not the frame of mind in Israel today. In praying to our Heavenly Father, Nehemiah refers to God as being of great kindness. Psalms 117 states that the Creator's merciful kindness is great towards us. And today, we acknowledge that God, through his kindness, gave us life and all that we have been blessed with. Blessings on a worldwide scale that are staggering. And I am always reminded of when I come back to what people who have been here refer to Vancouver Island as paradise. And beyond the blessings of this life, to allow his son to be crucified for his friend's sake. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This outpouring of kindness from God and his Son is the quintessential example of kindness. Our Heavenly Father and his Son, as well as the many examples of kindness illustrated in the scriptures, sends a very clear message of the importance of kindness being a central part of a person who wants to be counted worthy unto God. My friend Lenny in Mumbai, who I mentioned earlier, has a sister. She focused well in her grade school years, studied diligently through years of university to become a medical doctor. With the years of dedication and much money spent on schooling, she became a prominent physician in India's commercial capital. And for as long as I have known Lenny, which is about a decade, she's been working very long hours and enduring great challenges within a very bureaucratic and very corrupt system who has provided limited facilities and services. And for as long as I have known Lenny, out of kindness towards her fellow man, she has done this out of choice for free. 2 weeks ago in Dubai, one could hear the celebratory greetings of Eid Mubarak. In fact, I was told by my boss that on Friday morning we would be going to see Sheikh Mohammed, the ruler of Dubai, to wish him Eid Mubarak. And so we went to his palace, and we filed in our suits and ties very straight into his palace, into the great room, where there was military on one side, and the ruler and his supporters next to him, and then the prominent business people down the other side. And being the chatty person I am, I was speaking to our head of legal and was out of line, was told by a soldier to get in line very quickly because we were only allowed to be single file. I went and met him and greeted him with Eid Mubarak, shook his hand, and the truth is he was looking right past me and said nothing back, but I actually got to meet him. The significance of Eid Mubarak being the second holiday within Ramadan is a very important holiday in Dubai, as it marks the remembrance of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac in complete faith to our Heavenly Father. And while a Muslim holiday, it serves as a great reminder that God in his kindness stopped Abraham and provided a lamb in his place to act as a sacrifice to God. We have come to remember the perfect lamb this morning, who God again in his kindness towards us allowed his son to be crucified for the sake of his friends. We now need to reflect on the importance of this event. God's kindness, the Lord Jesus Christ's kindness and sacrifice for the sake of his friends. We need to reflect on the kindness expected of us by our Heavenly Father as we partake of the bread and wine, remembering that those accepted into the kingdom of God are those who in kindness give a cup of water in Jesus' name, those who give food to the hungry spiritually and physically. For it is not this pure religion, James says, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress.